Hi, good afternoon. It's good to see everyone. God is good. God is good. I've been away with my family for a couple of weeks for holiday. Just came back, served our 7-day stay-at-home notice. So just came out alive. So very happy. And so good to see everyone. Today, I'm particularly very excited because we have a pair of wonderful couple here is going to share with us, Darren and Gina. I read a little bit about background. I'm not going to give away too many things. But what I can tell you is that you're in for a great time. I think hearing and seeing what this young couple is going to do is very impactful. And I was just talking to Daryl just now. The Church 252 Agora was started off as wanted to be relevant. And I shared with him that we truly believe serving God is a daily kind of thing. It's not like we come to church, we learn something, apply on Sunday and go. It's a lifestyle. It's something that we want to do, whether you're in a mission field or you're working in your office or your house, wife or domestic helper, wherever position that you are, God has called us to be impactful in our life. And I think there's no better people to share with us than Darren and Gina. And let's put our hands together for them.
Hello, everyone.
Hi, everyone.
Good evening. I'm Gina, and this is my husband, Daryl. And we are very thankful to be here today, just to be able to spend this evening with all of you and just to share a little bit about our own experiences. And we hope that just through our sharing, you'll be encouraged and that maybe God will speak to you in his own ways. Okay, so maybe I can just start off by sharing a little bit about us in general. So, okay, this is us. Darren and I got married just last year. We were married right smack in the middle of the COVID pandemic. Our wedding was a few weeks after phase 3. So it was a very cozy, intimate wedding ceremony made up of just 20 people. Yeah, it wasn't the plan, but I think it was good that we could still get married and we could still have our loved ones with us to witness that day. For myself, I'm currently a Christian ministry staff in this school called St. Francis Methodist School. So it's an international mission school made out of students coming mostly from mainland China, Thailand, Korea, and other Southeast Asia countries. So my role there is I provide pastoral care. I do the Christian education, and I'm also very thankful for God placing me in that school where I get to reach out to students who might have never heard the gospel before, or will never have the chance to hear the gospel if they didn't come to Singapore. So just very thankful for God placing all these students here at St. Francis Methodist School. So that is for me.
Hi everyone, as for me, my name is Daryl. Currently, I am serving as a full-time ministry staff at Wesley Methodist Church. I look after the children's ministry and the tweens ministry. That's about P1 to P6. And before that, prior to that, she spent 4 years in the mission field in Thailand. So how I eventually came to that journey, I'll share a bit later about how I felt that I was called out to missions. But you can see that this is a picture of our vibrant children's ministry at Wesley Methodist Church. We really believe that the children are the next generation of missionaries. And that's why I believe that, at least for this season, I'm called there. The picture on the right, however, is me helping out with the St. Francis, her school ministry. And just want to say that it is a mission field at the doorstep. So, you know, when COVID struck, a lot of us were wondering how to go overseas, how to do mission trips. But we realized that, hey, there's many mission fields within our borders as well. And so this St. Francis Methodist School was one of those mission fields that we felt that God was leading us to, at least for this season. Yeah. Okay, so you want to share?
All right. So before Darren and I met, we actually had our own individual journeys serving Lord in the mission field. So I'll just start off by sharing a little bit about my own journey. So what happened is when I was year one in university, I felt God's call to serve him in cross-cultural missions. So at that time, everything was still a blur. It was just a very generic call to go into the mission field, but I didn't know where, I didn't know how. But all I knew is that I wanted to give my life to full-time ministry. So I sought the Lord, and I think the burden for missions just continued to grow deep in my heart. And after a season of seeking, In 2017, that's where I left my job and I did a 1 year stint in East Asia. So what did I do over there in East Asia? Let me share a story with you, okay, for you to better understand the ministry that I was involved in when I was in East Asia. So this is the story of Lily, okay? Lily is 10 years old. She has long black hair and big brown eyes. And when Lily smiles, a small dimple appears on her right cheek. However, Lily doesn't smile much. Lily's father works in a coal mine many hours away from home, and her mother works in a factory packing vegetables in another province. And Lily saw her parents only a few times a year. She was often alone. Lily saw how hard her parents worked in order to raise her, and she felt that she was just a burden to them. Lily wished she could disappear so that she would no longer be a burden. And when Lily was 15 years old, she met Ming. Ming was 21 years old. He was tall, he was good looking and charming. And Ming often bought Lily pretty things and he treated her very well. Ming also told Lily that he loved her. And he was the very first person who ever said, "I love you," to her. One day, Ming asked Lily if she wanted to go to the city with him to start a new life together. And Lily was very excited to have this new beginning. However, this was not going to be a good beginning. When they arrived in the city, Ming told Lily that he was running out of money and he needed her to work to help pay the rent. Ming introduced Lily to a job at a massage shop. However, when Lily went to work, she soon realized that this was not an ordinary shop. Every night, different men visited Lily at the shop. She had been tricked, and Lily had never felt more darkness in her life. But one day, someone visited the shop. She did not want anything from Lily and even gave her a gift. She was different from all the other people that Lily had met. This lady was kind and she was genuinely interested in Lily's life. And for the very first time, Lily felt that she had a friend. The lady often visited Lily and Lily always looked forward to seeing her. And during one visit, this lady told Lily about this place called Starfish. Starfish was a place for girls like Lily to find safety and hope, a place where Lily could learn new skills to support herself. And Lily had always wanted to leave the shop, but she felt that there was no other place she could go. But now there was Starfish, and Starfish sounded like a place that she wanted to be. So eventually, Lily left the shop and she joined Starfish. At Starfish, she met other girls who had gone through the same struggles that she had. And this gave her comfort knowing that she was not alone and that there were people around her who understood her. And together with other girls, Lily learned how to make jewelry that was sold at a good price. Lily enjoyed her work and she never imagined that she could make such beautiful jewelry with her own hands. Lily felt that she belonged at Starfish. So this is Lily. She's 16 years old. She has long black hair and big brown eyes. And Lily is often seen with a smile. And you can see a small dimple on her right cheek. And Lily knows that she is loved. So just from this story you heard from Lily, it's just one of such stories of the ladies that I ministered to in East Asia. Basically, during my time there, I supported this ministry called Starfish Project that reaches out to women in the sex trade. Okay, so in short, that was what I did in my 1 year in East Asia and the people that I met over there. Okay, so maybe I'll let Daryl share a bit about his experience.
Yeah, so like Gina, I actually spent a stint in the mission field. For me, it wasn't East Asia. For me, before we met, I felt called to North Thailand. Over there, I chose to live and serve, as you can see from the pictures above, with a hill tribe community called the Hmong community. The Hmong people are a beautiful and resilient people. They are the second largest hill tribe in Thailand. So you can imagine that there's quite a number of people that fall under this category or ethnic minority of Hmong. They're mostly farmers living in tap houses, like you can see the picture on the right here. That is a normal family, right? Of Hmong people that really struggle to make ends meet because, first of all, they live on about one or two meals a day. And secondly, one of the meals could really just be a bowl of rice with some salt. And really, they grew up in poverty. There are many social issues, such as domestic violence. And there's also a high percentage of substance abuse that goes on, especially among the young children there. All right, so I want to ask a question, right? So you can see from the picture on the right, there's a picture of domestic violence. Now, the picture on the other side, right, is a picture of plastic bags. Do any of you want to take a guess? What are these plastic bags usually used for? Anyone? Okay, let me just share with you. Okay, the teens actually use this to sniff glue, right? So we will find these plastic bags littered around the areas where the teen gangs actually meet at night. And they will actually sniff this glue, get high, and it'll be very detrimental for their health. Not only that, when they are high on glue, it's very dangerous because they are totally free of their senses. Okay. So the mission agency that I served with was actually this organization called Radion International. The word Radion actually comes from two words combined together, the radiating mission. The vision is that the organization has is that by doing this mission, right, they will be catalysts to encourage more to share God's shalom peace in every crack and corner in the world. Their motto is actually every life matters. And I feel that that motto really has biblical roots because we really worship the God and the Christ that is really willing to go to leave the 99 to reach that one lost sheep that has gone out. And so really this organization, the reason why this organization caught me or resonated with my heart was because they believe that every life matters. It's not about the salvation numbers. It's not the thousands of salvation numbers, but it's just that one life that you impact, that you reach. Now, Radion actually runs a children's shelter to help restore the lives of kids. That was where I spent most of my time. If you can probably imagine, right, I have a passion for young children, okay, especially children that come from impoverished or marginalized backgrounds. And so this was really where my passion was. I really spent most of my 4 years serving with children that came from backgrounds of domestic violence, where the parents neglect, abandon them, or the parents even, like I'll share a story later about a step parent that actually abused two young girls. Okay, so next slide. Yep, so this is a picture of the kids in our shelter. There's, at that time when I was there, there was 42, but right now I think there's more that came in since I came back to Singapore. And so that's really what I did there. It's not always with the kids though. Sometimes I go out to farm with the farmers. Sometimes, you know, the picture in the middle is actually a very interesting picture because the main means of income for the Hmong, right, is pig farming. Okay. And so in order to build relationships with them, we chose to also kind of be involved with pig farming. So that's our mission team. When we went up, we had a short-term mission team come up. We helped the farmers deliver pigs. So it's very interesting. You see the mission troopers catching baby piglets that come out from the mother pig. So the mission troopers were very amused, very interested. The picture on the rightmost is three of my closest kids. These three kids actually come from abusive backgrounds. But after 2 years in our shelter, you can see how really God transformed their lives. Now you can see them willing to dream again. You can see a smile on their face. You can see new joy in their hearts. And that is really the joy of missions. Every time I share, that's the joy of missions, is really to see the Lord changing lives in the mission field.
Okay, so I think just hearing a bit of what Darren and I did and what the different people we ministered to during our time in the mission field, I think this is the main reason why we're here today, which is to really share with you what we have learned, whether it's my 1 year in East Asia or Darrell's 4 years in Thailand. And I'll just start off with sharing some of my own learning. So I want to just share two very simple things that I really felt my biggest takeaway when I was in East Asia. The very first thing that I learned was, I think through my 1 year there, I really saw the extent of God's love. I think I grew up as a Christian and I know that God loves the world. He loves everyone. But I think it was always just in my mind. I didn't really experience it or I didn't really witness it for myself. But during my one year there in East Asia, I really saw God's extent, his love for all people. Basically, I think from the story you heard from Lily, these ladies were very different from me. I interacted with them on a daily basis, but no matter how hard I tried, I could never fully understand what they had gone through. I could never fully see how they saw the world because our background is so different, our values, our upbringing. And even though I tried to empathize, I knew that I was different from them. But yet, God was very good and that He really gave me a love for them. And I knew that this love didn't come from me. It was really God helping me to see these ladies with His eyes, to know that they are all created very special and beautiful. And He reminded me that He loves each and every one of these ladies as much as He loves me. I remember an incident after a visit to the brothel. I was very burdened and I was praying for the specific ladies that I met at the brothels. But suddenly I felt this prompting, and this prompting was to also pray for the men who exploited these ladies, the men who visited the brothels. And I really struggled with that thought. You know, I didn't really want to pray for these men. I was a bit angry at them. I was maybe even disgusted by them because I felt that these men were the main reason for the hurts and the pain of these women. They were the perpetrators, and these women for the victims. So why did God ask me to pray for these men? And if I did, what am I supposed to pray for? I felt very difficult to even start praying for them. But it was at that moment when I was struggling, I felt that God reminded me of the very same thing, that He also loves these men as much as He loves those women, as much as He loves me. And I think my biggest takeaway from my 1 year stint was that was understanding God's heart, His love for His people, people of every background, people of every nation, tribe, and tongue, and that the love of God, His mercy, His forgiveness, His grace really knows no bounds. That God is very willing to extend His love to anyone who is willing to receive. You know, whether it's, if we read in the Bible, whether it is to David, the anointed king, or to Nicodemus, the wise Pharisee, to the unclean leper who was rejected by society, to the adulterous woman who is about to be stoned, or to this woman working in the brothels, or to the men who are visiting to the brothels, to you, to me. God's mercy, His love, and His grace is always available for us to receive it. As long as we are willing, He is willing to give it to us. And I think that was a very big reminder for me to really see God's heart for His people. And I'm reminded that, you know, we are all really imperfect people loved by a perfect Savior. And it's indeed God's greatest desire for all people to return to Him, to experience His love, and to worship Him. So this was one of my biggest learning points that I took away from my one year in East Asia about understanding God's heart for His people. Another learning point I had was understanding what missions is really all about. As I was serving in a creative access nation, meaning I couldn't openly proclaim and share the gospel as and when I wanted to, I wondered to myself, you know, do I still call myself a missionary? And I think the answer is very clear. Yes, I am. And that's because I believe, or I come to learn, that missions isn't just about proclaiming the gospel. It's about displaying it. It's about showing the gospel, not through my words, not only through my words, but also with my deeds. And I think that's exactly what Jesus did, right? When Jesus came to this earth to redeem God's people and to bring shalom to everywhere that He went, He did that not only by teaching and pointing others to the truth, but He also did that by showing compassion and love to the last, the least, and the lost. And I think my 1 year stint truly opened my eyes to understand God's love for the nations. And that now, you know, now that I'm back in Singapore, I always keep this very close to my heart because I know that God is still reminding me that right here where I am, even in my comfort zone and at home, there are still people that God loves around me. There are still people who have not known, or have not experienced the love of God. And God is reminding me that there are people here right at my doorstep for me to love. So as a disciple of Christ, I am still called to be a missionary here in Singapore, and that is to proclaim and to display God's love to those around me, because Christ has already first loved me. And I hope that this will really be the same for all of you. You know, whether we are called to go overseas, whether we are called to be in the marketplace, whether we are called to minister to the people at home, you know, be a homemaker, I believe that God has called all of us to be a missionary, and that is basically just to share Christ's love to the people around us. So I just wanted to end off my short learning with a quote. Okay, and this quote was something that is very simple, but I think it really impacted me. It says this, it says that missions, after all, is simply this. Every heart with Christ is a missionary, and every heart without Christ is a mission field. So I hope that we will all be reminded that as recipients of God's love, we are called to be missionaries, to reach out to hearts that are longing for a Savior, hearts that do not know of this Savior, hearts that do not have Christ, because every heart without Christ is a mission field.
Yeah, so I think for me, my 4 years in the mission field was actually a very formative time for me. I always consider it a privilege to be called to really be molded in the mission field. So I just wanted to share with us a few lessons for today. I think I'll just share with us three main lessons and then perhaps end with one last key point. Okay, and the first lesson I would really like to share with us today is for us to really put God first. When I was growing up, or when I was a bit younger, I had a plan to live a very self-driven life. I wanted to lead my life my way. So my plan was really to draw a circle around myself and the people that matters most to me. And I only care about the people in the circle, people outside the circle, not part of my responsibility. I have enough to take care of. This is a difficult world. So I just want to take care of myself. And that led me to seek a career that would just provide for myself and my family. But little did I know that as I step out in missions, the Lord began to work on my mindset. And I hope to share with you some of these mindsets today. The first lesson I had was put God first and everything else will follow. When I went out there, right, one of the scriptures that was impressed on my heart was the most important commandment, right? To love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. And so when I was in university, I did have a lot of distractions. I wanted to, you know, make it big in the corporate world. I wanted to get a good job. I wanted to buy a sports car. And I wanted to just be self-provided for, and then finally retire in comfort. And it really sounded like the ideal life to me. And I was doing well in school. I was on the path to really achieving that. Until when I needed to graduate, I realized that I need to actually clock some community service hours. So among the few choices, I decided to go to Thailand to do a short community service trip. Now, little did I know that when I was in Thailand, right, this trip would totally flip my idea of what it means to be successful. And so I meet this 9-year-old girl in Thailand, in the village. Her name is Thor. Okay, and first time I encountered her, see that she's a very quiet girl. She couldn't quite fit in with the other kids. Sometimes the other kids would tease, even bully her. So I naturally feel for this girl. And so I befriended her. And she begins to share with me about her family. And I learned that she came from a very tragic past. See, she, her sister, and her mother actually originated from Laos. They escaped to Thailand when a war broke out, a civil war broke out in Laos. Their birth father, however, was killed in Laos by the Laotian troops. In Thailand, you know, the girl wasn't in clear waters yet. Her mother decides to marry another man, a Thai man. But this stepfather did not love the kids as much as, you know, the mother did. And every night after night, he would bundle little Thor in a gunny sack and hit her again and again with a metal pipe. Now later, the mother put both girls, Thor and her sister, on sale in the black market for the price of 800 Sing dollars, roughly the price of a new iPhone today. Luckily, Radeon's team, in the nick of time, was able to rescue these children just before the buyer came to collect the children. Now, today, when we talk about Thor, right, I see her, she's so traumatized by her past life that she will actually bite and chew the back of her hands when she feels nervous, scared, or threatened. And when I met this girl, this life, this story really tore up my idea of God. In fact, I found my faith shaken. We sing in Sunday school, God is so good, right? Then why does he allow such suffering to occur, especially to this young kid, right? And for a person that really is passionate about children, you can imagine how much that does to me, right? So I began to wrestle with the Lord every night. I prayed, and I found myself just praying a few words. Did God, did you forget about these people? Is it that you don't see these people? And I wrestled for this question for quite long. Each night before I slept, I would just pray for words. God, where are you in this village? But one night the answer came, right? The answer, in a soft and sure impression on my heart, was this. God said that, yes, I am here. I haven't forgotten about these people, but I'm here in the church. In the church, my body of Christ that is called to be blessed, to be a blessing. Who then is the church, right? I began to ask. And my answer naturally was, church is you and me. God places each and every one of us here in the mission field on earth, in the marketplace as well, for a purpose, for a mission. Now, what does the word mission mean, right? It is our core purpose because it is something we cannot live without. The church cannot exist without missions into cross-cultural mission field and into the marketplace. As Christians, this is really our mission, to be God's light in a dark and broken and hurting world. There's brokenness and there's hurt everywhere, right? Be in Singapore, elsewhere, other countries. You need to shine as God's light in this world. That's why you and I are called and created. We cannot forget our mission, right? And so for me, that was when I realized that was God's mission for me. I left behind, a job in a corporate world. I decided to head to Thailand. I thought that I had made literally the greatest sacrifice in my life, giving that up. But after spending 4 years, right, I come to the conclusion that even though I was never kind of materially poor, I was never poorer materially, but I was never happier and more fulfilled than when I was serving the Lord as a missionary in Thailand. Okay, so the first point I want to share with us today is really to put God first. The second point is really to love your neighbor. Okay, and I think this command can be really done anywhere. Okay, can be done in the mission field, can be done in the marketplace. Okay, this is the second most important commandment. And so how do we act towards the weak, towards people who are different from us, towards people who we do not like? Do we stand up for them? Do we love them? Or are we the bullies, the ones who put them down? I want to share about one of the children living in the village, right? This child is a very special child. She is a child with autism, right? Her father was sentenced to a period in prison for trafficking drugs. And she has a mother that just neglects her. And so, because this girl has nothing to do every day, right? She would be roaming the streets with nothing better to do. Okay, so one day, as I was just going through the village, I saw her and I decided just to invite her over to our office to do some coloring and have a meal with us. And before long, I become like an older brother to this child. Every night, she would walk all the way. And I remember it was quite a distance. Okay? She would walk all the way down to our field office just to meet us and spend the day with us, even though it was a very long walk. And each day, I would be clearing my admin work and she would be doing her simple coloring. We would talk for a while, then she would go home in the evening. Now, because she's a child with special needs, she struggles with self-control, right? And so she started to not only steal money from our staff in the office, but also belongings from other children in the shelter. And so before long, I had to make a decision. I had a major protest on my hands. Not only the children in the shelter, but also the adult staff, right, were calling for me to send this child away. Don't let this child come into our office anymore. Because every time she comes into our office, she steals our stuff. And then I prayed to the Lord, who do I stand up for? Right? Should I stand up for the child who really has no one else? Or should I stand up for, the staff, right? And after a long period of discernment, I chose to stand up for the child because the whole world is already telling her she is worthless, okay? I chose to be that person to tell her that God still loves her. Now, are we willing to do that for someone, wherever God calls us to be? Because that's really what being a missionary, right, is all about, right? We see plenty of these kind of people around us, whether it be the marketplace, whether it be the cross-cultural mission field. And how does God call us to behave around them? He really calls us to demonstrate to them that we have a God that hasn't given up on them yet. All right. My third point and my last point, right, is really to redefine success. May I just submit to us today that the definition of success in our generation is changing. Today we are beginning to ask the question, can we live for something greater? Is there a greater meaning to life than just, you know, earning money, you know, taking care of ourselves? And so some people will call so when I talk to the next generation today, like the youth, right? They will know that people actually refer to them as the selfie generation, because I don't know, because they are very good on social media. They love to take a lot of selfies. But I always challenge them, you know, can we not be known as the selfie generation, but can we be known as the selfless generation, right? Can we change people's mindsets about the young generation today? Can we be selfless? And so I wanted to perhaps leave us with a challenge. Can we be known as selfless? Can we choose to live for something greater than ourselves? Can we choose to live for God and for others? And really, this is possible anywhere, right? It's possible in the marketplace because there's so much work. There's so much of God's work that needs to be done there. And this is also a lot of work. This is also an opportunity for a lot of us to be part of God's work in the mission field as well, right? And so this is the true definition of success in a life of following Jesus, that we truly find a cause that is really greater for ourselves, to be part of God's mission in transforming lives around the world. So I wanted to end on this point. I wanted to say that discipleship and missions, right, are really two sides of the same coin. As I was kind of finding out a little bit about what this church was about, right, I actually stumbled upon the fact that you all hold the Great Commission quite closely. And that's amazing, right? I think churches today really need to hang close to our call to discipleship, right? The Great Commission. It undergirds our faith, especially in the New Testament. I want to share that really when I transited from serving in the mission field to coming back to Singapore to becoming a full-time staff in church, you know, people will always ask me, do you miss the mission field? Don't you want to go back quickly, right? And the honest answer to that would be yes. You know, I miss it every day. But I want to share that the consistent lesson that God has always impressed on my faith journey is not my plans, but His plans. Not my plans, but His plans. That means to be obedient wherever He calls me to be. And that's what is calling me to stay for this particular season, because He shows me that He is doing an amazing work here in the church in Singapore as well. My burden and is for the church to see missions and discipleship as two sides of the same coin, right? The Great Commission that we hold so closely to as part of our faith is one that calls us to both discipleship and one that calls us to missions as well. Okay, serious followers of Jesus Christ must grasp His heartbeat for missions. On the other hand, if we want resilient missionaries to come up into the world, into the marketplace, into the cross-cultural mission field, these are forged out of deep, deep discipleship. Okay. I also want to share that the Lord, I believe, really, truly, as I work with the young people today, the Lord is raising up a next generation that takes seriously the call to missions, right? And if I were to be true with you today, I was able to answer the call early because I had mentors and I had parents that never gave up on praying for me and people that really invested in my discipleship walk. So I believe that today the Lord is preparing a next generation that really He will send out into the mission field to really win and really love more people into His kingdom. So I want to end by saying that discipleship and missions are really two sides of the same coin. And if we really want our church to step up in the work of missions, in being salt and light, right, in the marketplace and being salt and light in the mission field, then we need to start by really taking seriously the call to discipleship, the call to being a missionary that takes seriously the call, God's call for us to really serve him in missions wherever he calls us to be. Right? So with that, allow me to just close us in prayer. Yeah, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we've shared a lot today, and Lord, I pray that our stories here today will really bear fruit, Lord, in the hearts of those that are listening. Lord, we know that you have called us as your special people to be a blessing, to be your salt and light wherever you have called us to be. And so may we, as a church, answer your call, take seriously your call to both missions and discipleship. May we step up, Lord, as your missionaries that you've sent out to really point others to you. And so we pray for each and every one of us here that you will really challenge us, you will speak to us, and will your Holy Spirit guide us, even as you call us to a life of mission in your kingdom. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
I don't know about you guys. I think this is so inspiring, right? Darryl, may I ask a question first? How old are you?
I'm 32 this year. Goodness.
I can assure you, this guy are the youngest that we ever have to grace this stage. First time, okay?
It's a privilege to be here.
So for the next maybe 10, 15 minutes, we're just going to do a simple Q&A. Any one of you here or on the Zoom call, you have any question you want to ask this lovely couple, please WhatsApp me. You have my numbers. And if I find your question relevant, I will ask. Okay? So first of all, thank you. I think, as I said, you are the youngest couple we ever had. And in a way, I'm so encouraged because I think the new generation need to hear this message. I'm a parent of two teenagers' daughter, and one of my biggest burden is for the next generation. I truly believe that the next generation is going to do greater works than all of us have seen before. And it's always a big burden with the social context, the social media, and the pressure that the kids is going through. Some of the things you say resonate in a sense that some of this poorer country, I think people are subjected to abusive relationship because of poverty and some of the issue. But in Singapore, I think the issue is very different. We've seen a lot of problems with teenagers they're facing today. They're actually born in very wealthy family, very well-to-do family, but all kind of mental issue. I personally know a few cases, right? Teenagers are going through a very hard time and they're lost. They're lost. So in a way, a younger generation like you guys coming out to serve the Lord is very encouraging. As much as we struggle, I mean, because it's very hard for the older us to engage them as we try to. Because we don't feel the heartbeat, we don't understand the situation they're going through. But more and more, you guys coming out, I'm so encouraged. And I thank God for your faithfulness. I think before I pose some question, I think first thing first, I personally happen to privilege to serve in the short-term mission before. And one of the biggest lessons that I learned, when I go out to serve the Lord, I thought, God, at that time I was a young kid, I say, God, I feel so good. I'm here to do your work. I'm going to serve you. I'm a good servant, right? But the lesson I take away from that trip is that not so much of God interested in me to serve others. God brought me out to the mission field to tell me that how much he loved me. He's doing such a great work and my life has changed completely. And I realized that the Lord loves us so much. And we are so privileged to be used for him as a broken vessel, no matter how broken we are. We still can do work for God. I don't know how you feel about that as you both are spend a lot more time in the mission field, other than seeing how God's worked through you to serve other people. I'm very interested to see how God changed your life. Yeah.
Actually, I really resonate with what you mentioned. You know, when I first went out to the mission field, right, being a graduate from university, right, I always had this perspective that, oh, I'm going there to give a lot. You know, I'm educated. They are not educated. So I can give a lot. And the Lord began to work on that mindset because I believe that, wow, there's good intentions behind that, right? We go there thinking we can give a lot to the people. The Lord needed to humble me. And so that was what the transformation that I went through. I mentioned that initially I saw it as, oh, I'm giving up a prospective career to serve God in the mission field. But that was a kind of an unhealthy mindset if I had to think about it back then, because you're kind of saying that, oh God, because I give this up for you, right? You owe me something. You owe me something. But as I step out into the mission field, God began to work on my mindset, right? I began to see that rather than it being a sacrifice that I had to make, what a privilege it is to be here. What a privilege it is to see God working on the front lines of missions, seeing God firsthand, like front row seats, you know, of God changing lives, you know. And that really stretches your faith, because when you see it firsthand, when you come back and you come back to Singapore and you share these stories, it's very inspirational, yes, but it's secondhand. Imagine you see it firsthand, how much more encouraging it is. And so that was when I was there, that was a really formative time that I went through. It really stretched my faith, but above all, it transformed my mindset. I didn't see it so much as, oh, I'm there to give up to the people. Rather, I saw it as I'm there to receive, I'm there to learn from the people, I'm there to learn from God, I'm there to be molded by Him. And that whole mindset really, really, really changed through my experience in missions.
Praise God. Gina, you have something to add?
Yeah, I think for me, like what I shared just now, I think it's really seeing God's heart. And I think that, like what Daryl said, I think it's really a privilege to grow into deeper intimacy with God by understanding His heart so much more for the people. And I think, like I mentioned, the different groups of people I ministered to, I think God always reminded me that, hey, Gina, you are actually no better than them. You know, you are as broken as them, but like I came to this earth to restore, and I restored you, and I'm still restoring you, and how I'm in this business of restoring people. And I think that always made me so grateful also for what God has done for me, and how He has worked in my life, how He has restored me. So I think it's a very humbling process to know that despite my own brokenness, God is still willing to use me to reach out and minister to other broken people. And I realized that it's only because of my brokenness that, when I'm not ashamed to share my brokenness, that's also very powerful to minister to people. You know, I don't have to be perfect, because I think in my younger days, you know, you read stories or hear stories of missionaries and they all seem to be like super holy. You can never reach out to where they are. But I think God really showed me how He wants to use broken people, because it is Him, you know, it is Him that will do the restoration. It's Him that will redeem. And I think another thing that God spoke to me was that, okay, you know, you spend your 1 year overseas, then what's next? You know, what are you going to do when you come back to Singapore? And I think God really challenged me that, you know, yeah, a missionary is really not, even though I knew in my head that it's not about going overseas, it's not about buying an air ticket and flying overseas, but God told me to, hey, look at your own country, look at your own backyard, and how can you minister? So I think the very first thing I actually did was that I went to go find out more about Singapore's red light district, because, you know, I spent 1 whole year in East Asia. I know about the so-called the industry over there, or I've stepped in, but I've never ever tried to find out more about the industry in Singapore. And I think when I went there, God really broke my heart again, I think, because this time it was back in my own home, and just seeing that, you know, all these brokenness that you see is also here, and that, you know, maybe now since you're here in Singapore, you can also use this opportunity to reach out and minister to the people in our red light district. So I think that's something that Darren and I have been involved in. We have been involved in local missions, ministering to the ladies and the men in the red light district. And I think God has really shown me how missions is really everywhere. It's just whether our eyes are open enough to see, and our hearts are sensitive enough to know that there are lost people in our midst. Yeah.
Absolutely. I mean, you guys didn't share, but I read your story. It's very clear, Bo, you just heartbeat for mission, overseas mission. I can see that, the passion and all this. But because of circumstances, the Lord brought you back to Singapore. And it's just as so by divine coincidence that the Lord matched you out and you're happily married now. And congratulations for that. So my question to you is that since you come back to Singapore, serving the Lord locally, you mentioned a little bit about that. How does that compared to what you think God wants you to do in terms of the mission work. Yes, we understand mission work is everywhere. It could be in Singapore, it could be everywhere. But do you sense the great difference, and how do you think God is putting all these jigsaw puzzles for you in terms of the greater commandment for you both as a couple now, rather than individual?
Yeah. Well, I think we can only see the puzzle pieces coming together when we look behind, when we look in the past. And there are things that we are still trusting the Lord for, especially whether the next season of our life, you know, will lead us back into the cross-cultural missions. But I just want to share that, you know, we both serve and in different countries, but what brought us together as a couple was our heart for marginalized people and heart for the last, the least, and the lost. And so that was something that resonated, and that was what kind of brought us together as a couple. As for me, I think what the Lord has been impressing on my heart each and every chapter of the journey so far, right, is just to be faithful with the Lord that He's placed in front of me. And so when I was in Thailand, yes, it was a joy to be there. It was a faith-stretching experience. But who am I to say that, and as God calls me back to ministry in Singapore, who am I to say that it's any less important? And so I believe that, you know, the right heartbeat and the right posture is really not to compare past, present, but more to say, God, you know, since you put me here, I will be faithful. And so, of course, the circumstances along the way came, like COVID-19. To be honest, we were actually planning to do a few vision trips to some of the previous countries that we have served before, just to try and sense whether God is calling us to that nation. But all this was postponed because of the COVID-19 restrictions. But what do we make out of that? Do we, you know, say, oh God, you're not in control anymore? Or do we say, okay, what mission fields do we have that are still accessible to us right now? The church, the marketplace, school ministry, the red light district, right? These are mission fields that are within our reach that we can still be a part of. And so that's what we did, right? We decided to really continue to plug ourselves into these ministries, these mission fields, and continue to just be part of the work there. And through that, I think the Lord was faithful in keeping our heart for missions alive. Yeah, because I feel that sometimes when we unplug ourselves from missions too much, right, the heart gets a bit cold. And so I told her, let's continue to be active in intentionally finding opportunities where we can be part of continue serving God's mission, even when we are here in Singapore. Yeah.
I think just to add on, just now you mentioned like what's the difference, right? And I think the hurting, the loss, they're all around the world. That's the same. But I think what's the difference is we come back to Singapore and we realize that, wow, you know, we are so privileged in Singapore. We have so many churches for a very small nation. We have so many believers. We have so many resources. And I think that's where, right now in our season of being back home, I think we really see that God is placing us here to mobilize the church, or just to encourage, you know, the young people or people around us, to let them know that there are a lot of needs out there, and God wants to use each and every one of us to really advance His kingdom. So I think in this season, Darren and I, we have been very privileged to have different opportunities. I think even being able to share our story here, just to mobilize, to encourage, to let people think about mission, because sometimes we just get very caught up with our own lives and in our own needs. Yeah.
Absolutely. I don't know about you. I think I learned a lot from this young couple. I'm an old guy, 50 over years old compared to you, 30 years. And it's very rare to learn from the young, because you always think that we're experienced, we've gone through life, but you taught us quite a fair bit. I like what Darryl said about when we serve God, right? A lot of the time, you're beginning to see the big picture when everything is done. When we're in it, the only thing we can do is to just follow God. In fact, before this, I just have a short recording for the church on the year and Thanksgiving, right? And one of my favorite verses is actually Matthew 6, verse 33. We talk about why God said you worry about everything, right? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all this will be added on to you. So I think God's command is very simple. In everything that we do, we put God in the center of everything. Just put God in the center of everything, and everything else will take care of itself. Of course, one of the natural questions I will ask, being a market-based guy, I'll just say, how are you going to survive, right? You were in the mission field, but I can see, without even asking you the question, God continue to bless you materially, not to the richness that the world perceives. You mentioned it just now. You're not worse off compared to you before you quit your job and join the mission field. But what you gain in return is the kind of freedom, the liberty, the joy, and the peace of God. And that's something is you can't measure it. And there's something is so precious that living out God's will and put God in the center of everything, right? And then let God lead. And I'm sure that hopefully in a few years' time, we have the privilege to invite them to come back again. Then we continue to hear the story and the journey, how it evolves. The fire down the road, we see a small jigsaw puzzle of God's in their life beginning to form. And then we say, oh my God, this is amazing. The 5 years ago, the couple came, we still don't know what's next. And this is a beautiful thing that God's going to come forth. And then so on and so forth, right? So that's something that is, my takeaway from today, the big thing is that don't question what God is questioning, don't question God is what he's doing in your life today. Regardless of how old, how young you are, wherever you are, serve God faithfully. Mission is everywhere. Mission is everywhere. In your office, at home, your kids' friends and so forth, your parents, or if God call us, like them, we have the privilege to serve in overseas, go. Then we'll see how God serve in how God is going to come through in our life, right? One last parting question. Any advice for all the people here listening to you? We want to learn more.
Well, I think mine would be, like we mentioned just now, right, missions is everywhere. And I think in the past, the traditional way we see missions, right, is, oh, I need to pack my bags, I need to take a flight to a faraway, deserted country, and that is what it means to be missions. But the idea of missions is changing, and it is ever-changing. Today, missions is also still, there's a place for, you know, cross-cultural, cross-nation missions, but now we are seeing the idea of missions to certain industries, perhaps, or different sectors. For example, missions to the art industry in Singapore, the media industry in Singapore. And these are very important mission fields as well that we can't forget. And so that's why, you know, when we talk about missions, yes, I'm personally very passionate for cross-cultural missions, and that's my personal calling, but I wouldn't say that missionaries all must go overseas. You know, some missionaries will be called, you know, to be a blessing, to be a salt and light in certain places like the art industry or advertising industry, where we really need God's light to shine. You know, stand up for godly values. You know, stand up for integrity. Stand up for righteousness, right? Justice. If we can really be these ambassadors for Christ into these mission fields, right? Then really within our nation itself, you know, God's mission and God's kingdom can be fulfilled here. Yeah. So I just wanted to end by saying that, you know, missions is really changing. Yeah. And the way we understand missions, we can't continue to fall back on what on the traditional understanding of what missions was. Yeah.
Yeah, just to echo that, I think, you know, even in the Bible that you don't see the word like missionary, but I think we see the word disciple, and I believe that all of us here would call ourselves a disciple of Christ. And I think being a disciple of Christ, yes, the one thing is to walk closely with God, to grow in our faith with him. But the other thing, as we read in the Great Commission, that is to really make disciples of all nations. And I think what does it mean to make disciples is basically for us to be faithful in what we are doing and to really show love to the people around us. And I believe by doing so, we point other people to Christ. So I think like what Daryl said, I believe that God has placed all of us in different areas, in different sectors, blessing us with different gifts for a reason. And that's because we are a body of Christ. We have to work together in the different parts, you know. Not all of us will be called to the marketplace. Not all of us will be called to go cross-cultural. But as long as we are faithful in what we do to be a disciple, I'm sure that others can see the Christ that we are following, and that they will be drawn to want to also follow this Christ. Yeah.
Amen. Amen. On that note, thanks.
Thank you.
So we shall close today's session with some worship. I think I like what you say. All of us here, we have a heart for Christ, and that makes all of us a missionary. Right, Darrell, just say that. We all have a heart for Christ, and that makes every one of us a missionary in everything that we do, every opportunity that we share with our colleagues or any strangers that come around. And with that, we are so inspired. Thank you. Ms. Jasmine, we'll hand it to you.
Just close in the time of worship. I'm personally very inspired by both of you all, and actually I'm very touched. Yeah. So, and really want to take this time, and as we, as we just look unto the Lord, let us just even give this time to the Lord, and as we think about what even Darrell and Gina shared, ask the Lord. I think the Lord is probably impressing upon our hearts already, and even take this time acknowledging His goodness as we even plan, you know, next year, as we go into the time of next year, ask the Lord for just a fresh directions of what He will lead us, lead you personally to fulfill where He calls us to be at. And Father, we just want to give thanks to you. Lord, as you said in your word that when two or three gather in your name, you are in the midst of us. Father, we ask that, Lord, today as we worship you, as we think about your goodness, maybe just continue to engage our hearts and mind to you, so that when you speak, Lord Father, we are able to listen. And Lord, let our hearts not grow cold, but Lord, continue to be passionate and warm for you, Lord. We give thanks to you. We pray all this in Jesus' most mighty name. Let's worship the Lord with this song, Goodness of God. I'm not afraid to die. more small. I just felt that for all of us, like even as we think about the Lord now, meditate upon His words, I just sense that some of us probably need to lay down your life and surrender, and maybe just take a moment to, you know, tell the Lord what is the thing that you want to lay down for the Lord, and what is the thing that you want to surrender unto Him. Because as we do so, you know, as we do so, the Lord will always not shortchange us a lot, but He always, you know, supply more than we think we need.
I give you everything.
Your goodness is running
after me. Yes, Lord, your goodness is running after me, Lord. We thank you. Father, Lord, many a time, even we turn our backs against you, you continue to pursue us. Your goodness continue to run after us. You never forsake us. And Father, you love us so much. Even you send your Son Jesus Christ to die for us. This is a God that we serve, that God that we love, will never give up on us. And what more do we want? Lord, today we come before you, humbly submit ourselves before you. We thank you that your goodness is forever running after us. Lord, we just want to commit this church even into your hand. Even today we hear of Daryl and Gina's story. Lord, I just pray that you plant it within our heart. There's a heart of missionary, the heart of discipleship. The Lord, we humble ourselves before you that as we say, even as a broken vessel, you can use us to show forth your glory and your power. And that all is required of us is a willing heart. A willing heart to pick up the phone to talk to someone. A willing heart to talk to a tea auntie even serving in our office. A willing heart to talk to a stranger who's begging on the street. Someone who is in need. Go out and reach out and touch them. And that is the mission in all of us. Lord, I just pray that you continue to guide our heart. And let us realize that as we serve you, it's not so much of what we can do for you. Serving you indeed is a privilege and an honor. And as we do that, Lord, you will bless us. And we see the favor of God that permeates through us. Your favor of the Lord will become a favor in the society and the ministry they were serving. And Lord, even right now, I just want to charge Daryl and Gina. The Lord God say that the Lord put together two of you as individual. Even the sum of part is greater than two of you. And Lord say that you serve me with one heart. And the Lord will continue to bless you even as a couple. They will learn to draw strength from one another, and through your imperfection, the power, the glory, the perfection of God will come through this unified entity as a husband and wife. And as the Lord call you in this time to serve in Singapore, God will show you a greater glory that you've never seen, even in the previous mission work. And the Lord is going to make you be so fruitful and make you be so powerful in everything that you do and every soul that you touch. And the Lord says, just follow me. Just follow me, walk this journey with me, and I'm going to show you glory upon glory. And Lord, I just pray that you bless this couple. I trust them to be fruitful in everything that they do. And Lord, may your blessings and may the favor of the Lord come forth. So Lord, we thank you, and indeed this is a wonderful time that we're able, it's a privilege to hear this message. And Lord, we want to give you all the glory, and until we meet again, just remember that the church does not start on Sunday or the weekend. The church is every day in our living life, in our workplace, in our families, in the marketplace and the hawker center they are in. And Lord, we thank you. We thank you for your ever presence in our life. In the wonderful and precious name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen.